From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Good morning, happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Schools are starting to decide what will happen in the fall. Congress is now deciding whether to send another round of stimulus checks, and that extra $600 on unemployment checks is going to be ending soon. The pandemic isn't over. We'll be talking about what needs to happen moving forward. But right now, let's get to the show. Oh, good morning, my friend Ursula.
Good morning.
Oh, man. Ursula, I know that you and I have had discussions on this, and sometimes I am a little petty towards you when I start off the show or during the show. I talk about school and my confidence in school. And so a lot of times I like to take shots at you, and you take shots at me right back, and you give it right back to me. Now I'm being serious. My level of confidence that in-person school, college classes will happen in the fall is gone. I have none. I have no confidence, and I have a reason.
And you're thinking that's all across the country, or just in particular where your kid will be going to school, or that area?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
I think it's going to be all across the country, at least in the beginning, when school is essentially supposed to start at the end of August, beginning of September, after Labor Day, if you will. I think that's going to be across the country. Now, yes. I've had people reach out to me, as you guys probably saw on the news. Ohio State football are now taking a break. The facilities are going to be closed because players tested positive for COVID-19. And, you know, it's interesting, right? Because I plan on going out there to see my son here soon. And I knew about the test happening on Tuesday. Okay, yeah, today's Thursday. So I knew about the test happening on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So I debated some. So here's what I thought on Tuesday. I'm like, okay, my son's going to get tested. There's going to be tests. And if it doesn't go right, it's going to be in the media. It's going to be in the news. It's going to be a national story. Ohio State football not being able to participate. Facilities are closed down. And then people are going to ask me, so, hey, G, did your son test positive? And I was thinking to myself, I was like, if he did test positive, I know my son is not going to want to say, hey, Dad, don't be telling people I test positive. But at the same time, especially you and Chef, you guys know how I am. It's hard for me not to tell the truth.
Like I'm finding that out more and more every single day. I'm like, what?
Don't tell. Yeah, yesterday's story blew you guys' mind. But anyway, but in the case of Baby G, he did not test positive. And I told him, I said, ooh, son, whoo, I'm glad, because I would have had to tell the truth. Anyways.
But so, even if he did, just before you go on, if he did.
Yeah, I could lie.
But there's no stigma attached to it.
No, there's not. Great point. Great point. But I know that my son would have, if I would have got on the airways and said that my son tested positive for COVID, and I agree with you, there should not be a stigma. There should be transparency about this. But had I done that, that would have been all over social media too, and that would have went national of what player tested positive for COVID-19. So I got to tell you, Ursula, I was really stuck waiting for those results. Come to find out, he's negative. Now, why do I think that there's not going to be school? And here's why. I was on the parent meeting last night that we had with the coaches. They had an epidemiologist on there. They had the team doctor. They had all of these professionals that was on this call. And we were on this call, the parent meeting, for an hour. And after about an hour, I start texting you guys like crazy. Even you got back to the text and you're like, 37 texts? What's going on? Well, what's going on is this. This is a school with all of the resources. This is Ohio State University with all of the resources, getting tested, doing all of these things, having to close down. And it's interesting that my other kids now are starting to go and work out in high schools and all that kind of stuff. But none of these places are requiring tests before they go do those things. See, at Ohio State and some of these big programs, they are required to test to go do that. You're not required to test to go to workouts right now in the summer. You're not required to test to go back to school. There are things that are not in place, and it's hard to be in place in order to go get things going forward. So my confidence is not there anymore, Ursula, and I'm sorry to tell you that.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm with you in that it's looking harder and harder. But here's why I think some form of in-person classes will happen.
Okay.
Because, okay, starting at the college level, schools need that money. Schools need the money that housing and food programs bring in, and the other money that comes in when you have kids in class. And, you know, even though there are more and more, so they're talking about hybrid. So more and more colleges are saying, we're going to do a hybrid plan. And that means, like at University of Washington, now they have announced that they will be having a hybrid plan, but 80% of the classes are going to be held online this fall. So that has just been announced. Now, again, the UW's fall term begins at the end of September on the 30th. So already they're predicting this is not going to be under control. And as you know, we've been reporting that now more than 140 students have tested positive for COVID-19 just from an outbreak on Greek Row. And there are going to be many more cases because they're still testing people.
Right. All right. So
there's going to be form. It's not going to be completely shut down because, I mean, also, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on a federal level, as we will be discussing, to have schools be open this fall.
Okay. All right. I see where I made my mistake. Right now, I think I'm using the example of the conversation that I was a part of yesterday, finding out about how they're going to be closing the facility. And by the way, the facility is going to be closed until Wednesday of next week. So they have this deal in place, Ursula, that if there is an outbreak and there's a certain amount of kids that have it, they're going to close it down for a certain amount of time and then re-clean it. Here's the rub. On Monday, I just got off the phone with Baby G before I got on the show. On Monday, all of the players have to retest again.
Exactly. Just because you don't test positive this week doesn't mean that you're not going to be sick next week, or at least test positive.
So you got to get where I'm going here. The fact that they have the ability they have the money, the resources to retest. And then if they retest on Monday, if there is more that have tested positive, then they will have to extend it. Here's my point. Let's go back to our listeners right now. They have elementary school kids. They have high school kids. Let's talk about that on that level right now. Here in the state of Washington, what high school is going to be able to close down for a certain amount of time and then say, oh, by the way, parents, before your child can come back to school, you're going to have to get tested. So somebody says, well, gee, no. They're not going to test everybody. You're just going to let everybody come back to school. Really? How can you continue that pattern?
It's going to, like I've said, it's going to be extremely disruptive. And I do work with a private school, and I think private schools are going to have it a little bit easier than public schools because, as you mentioned, they have more resources, which, again, is unfair. And, you know, in terms of people, you know, so in the public schools where I think it was 20% or maybe even up to a quarter of the students were still unable to do online schooling. So the spring did not go well. Not only that, even if schools were going to try to be, you know, on sometimes, off sometimes, we're getting emails from parents, including one that I got last night. And this is from one of our listeners. And she was saying, I am desperate to figure out what it is that we're going to be doing. Is a parent supposed to quit their job then to be able to take care of their young children when school is going to be on or off? I mean, in some cases, you know, that was the child care so that parents can work during the day.
Right.
So how is that going to look? You know, one parent was saying, are we supposed to use our sick leave and then vacation? So what, that gets you 4-6 weeks in a year?
I mean, they've already used it.
Yeah, they've probably used most of it. You know, do you get some money back for all those school levies that you've paid into if, hey, your kid's not going to be in school? You know, we talked about that from the college level.
Right.
which I am now in the process of writing to the college that our youngest goes to. But it is such a dilemma, and it's going to be so disruptive. And my heart just hurts for anyone with young children. I feel badly enough for, you know, my own kid with, you know, going to college, but I think that's easier to deal with.
And so again, an hour conversation, right? It was an hour conversation in finding out what all the protocols were. And I'm bringing this back up again because I'm listening to what you're saying, Ursula. I'm listening to you saying how bad you feel about the parents who will be impacted by this because of having to go, be able to go to work, and the kids that will be impacted by this in schools and elementary schools and middle schools and high schools. Because here's what I, after I got off the phone, and this is why I text you guys, and this is why my confidence is very low. I got off the phone, and there's absolutely, I mean, there is the worry. Yeah, I mean, of course, we all worry because we don't even know yet the side effects of COVID. Like, we haven't even gotten to the bottom of that. We're finding out some of those things. But as a parent myself, right, I'm not really worried about my son. They have all these protocols in place for them to go to hotels and quarantine there for 14 days, and they take care of him this way. So everything is set for him. But that's, in that case, in the case of the average American across the country, they don't have that luxury, and that's where it's a really bad issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I feel like we can do as a show is to try to help get those answers. So, you know, to the parents who've reached out and said, what am I supposed to do when, it is going to be fall and I don't know what to do with my children? You know, what options are there? You know, many of these people have been without work since March. And then, you know, if they are allowed to work, how is that going to look? You know, what we do know, I think if we arm everybody with facts, too, right now, across the country, a record 59,000 new COVID-19 cases were reported. And again, we have topped 3 million now since the start of the pandemic. Just yesterday in Florida, that state added nearly 9,000 new cases, and that is with testing, 24,000 fewer people than the day before. And the percentage of positive cases are hitting a new high. That's over 18%. So again, over 18% are testing positive. To be honest, because we like to be truthful, yesterday I was supposed to get a COVID test because I just not been, you know, mostly out of curiosity and because I just haven't been feeling 100%. I think it's just fatigue. But because I, you know what happened yesterday, and I was dealing with something that I had to miss my appointment, so I'd have to reschedule. But more and more people are being tested. More and more are coming positive. And there's just more and more evidence that the virus is not under control. And then earlier this week, Governor Inslee had warned that we might have to go back to a full statewide lockdown. And now Dr. Anthony Fauci is saying that states that are seeing these spikes, and that's more than 35 states or at least 35 states, he says they need to take drastic action.
You know, I think any state that is having a serious problem, that state should seriously look at shutting down.
And that's the depressing part.
And I just talked to one of my son's teammates' dad, who is a firefighter down in Dallas, Texas, right now. And he told me, he said, you can't tell that there is a pandemic. Well, he said you can a little bit, but not really. Like, people are really just acting like, well, we're going to be fine down there. Like, nobody's really changing their actions. He says he went to there's a restaurant there that's still being allowed to be 50% to capacity. Like, there is not a complete shutdown in Texas. Ursula, I wanted to talk about the Renton School District.
Yeah.
Because they released their plan.
That's right.
This is here something that is local. That plan is for the fall. It includes kindergarten through third grade in the classrooms being there 5 days a week, fourth grade through 12th grade in class 2 days, and online for 3 days, and an option for any student to attend fully online if their family doesn't want their kids attending in person. I want to talk about that part of it. First of all, Dr. Birx admitted, and she said, and you have sound of that as well, she admitted that we don't know how easily kids can both catch and spread COVID-19.
So if you look across all of the tests that we've done and whether we when we have the age, the portion that has been the lowest tested portion is the under 10-year-olds. So we're putting into place other ways to get testing results from them and looking at antibody in that discarded samples and try to fairly figure this out.
So just to that point,
yeah,
I want to just say for anyone who continues to tell you that, you know, kids are just going to be fine. Kids are going to be fine. You know, I hope most kids are going to be fine. And you know, it tends to be less of a problem with kids. But again, those kids can transmit the virus. So we can't sugarcoat anything. So you have to have all the information you need to make the best decision for yourself. And as far as the Renton School District, I think that's going to be many school districts.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. And even on a private level, I do know it's going to look like it's going to be – they're going to try everything.
Okay.
Whether it's day on, day off, some people online, some people not.
So
they have to.
And again, I want to, and I keep referring back because I've never been a part of any other conversation. So I keep referring back to the parent meeting that I had. They had an epidemiologist on there, the team doctor on there, and you had the head coach for Ohio State football on there, and all the parents on the Zoom call. And in that Zoom call, here's what I've learned. I've also learned that no matter how good the plan is, right? No matter how good the plan is, when COVID hits, that's when the real action happens. And the one thing I came away with is, yeah, Ohio State has a plan, but they really, there's no control over anything. And so when I look at the Renton School District and I look at any other school districts that's going to happen here in the state as they get ready to put their protocols down, yes, I get it. That's the plan. The plan is for kindergarten through third grade to be in class for 5 days a week and for fourth grade through 12th grade to be in there 2 days a week and online for 3 days. But there's one thing that's not in that plan and on paper is when it hits. When and if it hits, and if it hits, then what? Right. So does the school close down for a maximum of 7 days? And if it does close down for 7 days, when people come back, are they required to test? And if they're not required to test, how long do they stay away? If they're feeling symptoms and if they are COVID, it gets so complex that it's really tough for the majority of schools. I'm not talking about the rich schools. I'm talking about the majority of schools who don't have the resources to be able to fight this pandemic correctly in the right way. And I think we can all agree that we at least need to fight this the right way. And I don't know what the right way is. It seems like the only right way has been is wash your hands, put on a mask, and socially distance.
And just be prepared for the unexpected.
Right?
And then always look, you know, just, yeah, be ready to have things change on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, that's just where we're going to be until we have a way to control it.
Chris Sullivan. You guys know him. Yes, he's going to be coming in. He joins us next on the tolling that's going to be coming to the West Seattle Bridge. We'll find out what that's about next. It's Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the Gene Ursula Show. Still ahead, is it time to finally cancel the cancel culture? We're going to talk about that coming up at 9:47. But right now, let's bring in Sully.
Traffic, traffic. No more traffic.
Hey, friend. How you doing?
Good. What's happening?
Well, we heard something about the West Seattle Bridge because, you know, the news that comes out about the bridge is always so good. Now we're talking about tolling?
Yes. Yeah, it's always good news. The latest is that tolling will be one of the many, many funding sources that they are exploring right now to pay for whatever they decide to do with it, whether it's a replacement, whether it's a repair, or whatnot. That came out of the latest task force meeting that was held yesterday. It's one of the options that is going to be looked at. I mean, right now we have no idea what that means in terms of what a price might be. how much would be needed to be generated from the toll to pay for the project. We really don't know. They're going to spend a long time studying what tolling scenarios might do, where the diversion would end up. I know the one thing that they really don't want to do is send people throughout all different neighborhoods throughout West Seattle to get around. And so they're concerned about, you know, what diversion might look like. But yes, tolling is one of the many things they're going to be looking for when it comes to funding whatever they do. And one of the other ones is maybe going to the voters and asking for a new tax to help pay for this, kind of like Mayor Durkan is suggesting with funding for buses that we heard earlier this week. So there's a lot of things in play right now, but they're starting to look at the funding mechanisms going forward with what they're going to have to do.
You mean like go to the votes like they did for the $30 tabs?
Yes. Exactly, but this
one
would only
let that go.
Yeah, this would only be in Seattle, which loves taxes. But I'm not sure. But then again, you're right. It could go to the voters, and it could go one way, that way.
And if they don't like the vote, if they don't like how the vote goes, then what happens?
Well, at that point, they're going to have to try to find a different funding source, whatever that might be. And there aren't many sources out there. I mean, federal funding for projects like this have dried up over the last 30, 40 years. The burden's been put more on states and local municipalities to try to fund these things themselves. So it's going to be tight to try to find out and we have no idea what the price could be.
Well, I was going to say,
this point,
we don't even know what the options are
correct.
Yeah. So, but let's face it, you don't know what the options are. You don't even know what you're going to do, but let's look at tolling.
Well, it's something that you have to consider this far in advance, because at some point you're going to have to find some money. You know, they're not just going to turn over a tree and find several bags of dollar sign bags full of money laying around. So it's part of the process, because in order to do their proper diligence on all these things, they've got to spend time studying that. But at some point, it's one of the many tools. Everything is on the table right now. It's Heather Marks, the director of mobility for Seattle. Basically, she said she has a joke in somewhat gallows humor. She says, yeah, this is one of those things where we need $5 from everybody. Yeah, ten.
In your opinion, you said everything is on the table and they're at the table. When decisions are being made, in your opinion, what do you think that the most important factor is? Is it money, or is it the what's best for the people?
Well, Heather Marks said specifically they're going to do what is best for the community and the bridge. They're not going to run out and find the cheapest option. They're not going to run out and find the best option. She actually went out on to make a point yesterday saying they're going to do what makes the most sense. Now, that being said, there are so many different things at play here, G, if you think about it, in terms of what they're going to do. You know, is the bridge going to combo with light rail? Mm-hmm. Because light rail is supposed to go to West Seattle. Are they going to combo this and is it going to be a tunnel? Tunnel option will now be significantly looked at and vetted in the cost-benefit analysis, which we should have by October, they're hoping. Right now they don't know yet if a replacement or a repair is what makes sense, and so they've got to explore everything. My gut, G, tells me that they're going to probably find a way to combine some money from Sound Transit and get light rail on whatever it is that they choose, because it seems to make sense if you can get more bang for the buck, two projects in one. But tolling seems to be popular, but it seems kind of unfair to toll the folks in West Seattle for where they live.
So I have a question, but first I want to say I would actually be kind of in favor of tolling, because I don't live in that area. And so, you know, the people that are using it should pay for it. Now, is this a Seattle road or is it a state highway? Because when you say everyone needs to kick in $5, does that mean that this is going to trickle down to everyone, the cost of it?
Well, this is a Seattle arterial.
Okay, good. So it's not the taxpayers outside of Seattle.
No, this would be a Seattle. This would be a Seattle thing. But
remember also, whatever happens to the West Seattle Bridge will affect people who don't live in Seattle, because it affects other arterials as well.
What it also will do is you're going to be tolling all the freight that uses Harbor Island. And also part of the mix is T5, Terminal 5, is undergoing negotiations for a huge expansion. And that's hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars that are related in economic activity at the port. So there are a lot of different hands in this mix to try to figure out, and a lot of masters to serve and figure out who gets, you know, who gets priority here.
I mean, but here's a question. So as people are getting back to work, some people are getting back to work, more cars on the road. What's happening in the meantime while they're trying to figure all this out?
Well, that's the thing is in the next at the end of this week, they're going to start putting out some feelers to the West Seattle community on ideas that they've come up with for some traffic mitigation in the short term, whether it's projects that can build out, you know, things that will help ease congestion. We don't know exactly what those are going to look like, but they want them to be shovel ready by October, be less than $100,000 each and take less than a year to build. They want to try to get this done because right now what's happening, all the traffic is being funneled through South Park, White Center, and then certainly through Georgetown. From what we've heard from people in Georgetown, they're just getting slammed right now. And traffic is still at less than 50% of what we would normally have seen pre-COVID. So right now, I mean, and if you put a toll on this thing, what the diversion is going to make that even worse. So, yeah, there are no real good solutions out there
One more quick thing on that. So when it comes to tolling, are they talking about putting in a toll potentially when the new replacement or repair goes in? Or, hey, we could slap this on there in a month to start collecting cash to pay for this.
Well, let's not forget that the West Seattle Bridge itself is closed, so you couldn't toll anybody on it right now.
Right.
But there is the precedent. We started tolling on 520 before the new 520 bridge was operational. But I think we're just the idea of knowing that tolling's out there, again, doesn't necessarily mean that's what they're going to do. And we really don't know what it means yet, but it is something that is being considered. And certainly we heard from a lot of people in West Seattle. I heard one restaurant owner on the call yesterday saying that he thought there would be riots in West Seattle if they were tolling. At least that's what his residents have told him, the people who, you know, patrons of his restaurant. And they're not up. I mean, they don't think it's fair to toll their only way in and out of a neighborhood now after they've moved in, even though they're the ones who need this facility. But at some point, they were promised a 75-year bridge, and they only got 36 years out of it.
And I can feel from.
I miss the old me. I really do. I really miss the old me.
Because what would the old you have said?
The old me would have said, yes, hey, everybody, kick in. This is going to be great for all of us. It's going to be really convenient. We want to get the West Seattle Bridge going. We want to help everybody. They are thinking about us, and they want to make things better. That's the old me.
The new you says.
They want money. It's all about money. And I don't like the new me. The new me is bah humbug.
Take a bird walk out in West Seattle, G. Come on up from Tacoma. Take a bird walk in West Seattle and see if that helps you out. There are probably some llamas in West Seattle.
Yeah, yeah. I want some llamas. $30 tabs. They don't even get me started. Like, the old me was so much nicer, so gullible, so naive, so believing in everybody thinking what's right for us. They're going to do the right thing. So I apologize to everyone that the old me is gone. The new me is talking about something coming up next. Cancel culture. Folks are calling on no more. No more cancel culture. I'm going to say, is there anybody that has truly been canceled? We'll talk about that next. Gene Ursula. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. We appreciate you listening. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, we have the conversation about should there be another round of stimulus checks? And we have also the conversation about that extra $600 a week that comes in on unemployment and the fact that it runs out here pretty soon.
So the conversation that always gets G in trouble.
Yeah.
Let's see if that happens again today.
Yeah, for sure. But right now, cancel culture is a term that there's always certain terms, Ursula, that you really don't hear too much about. But in this case, cancel culture is one of them. And so, Ursula, here's what happened. There was an open letter right now that has been calling for the end to cancel culture. And some of the leaders behind that, it was signed by J.K. Rowling, Margaret Atwood, and many others that were part of this debate. And basically, in this. They're just basically saying, hey, we want the freedom to be able to say anything that we want. We have this platform, right? But we want to have this platform and be able to say what we want to say without fear of criticism, if you will. So basically what it is it's a bunch of people who have had this big platform and they want to protect themselves and make sure, like, anything that they say, if they say something wrong, they, quote, can't be a part of cancel culture. And so that's this big debate. And so I'm going to bring this to you. Ursula, can you think of someone who probably has been canceled because of cancel culture? Can you think of anyone?
People who have fallen out of favor or have been shut down. Okay, yeah. Help me.
I'll throw some names out there. I'll throw some names out there because these are some of the names that have come out there. And by the way, Bill Cosby doesn't count because Bill Cosby was in a case of, that was a crime that happened, and he wasn't even canceled right away. It took years for him to, quote, be canceled and thrown in jail.
Yeah, that's a convicted rapist. Yeah,
that's a convict. And same with Harvey Weinstein. So some of the cancel culture examples of people that have made some mistakes. J.K. Rowling was one.
Well, yeah, so the author of the Harry Potter series. So apparently she is being accused of being against trans people, and so people have been criticizing her. She has been under fire in recent weeks for defending the concept of biological sex. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, so she has a different opinion than many people in Hollywood or who are considered leftist, that kind of thing. Here's my whole issue with the idea of cancel culture. I hate the term, first of all.
But I will say,
as far as this letter, so this letter was talking about how it happens on both sides. I agree with that. I don't think it is something only, you know, conservatives do or liberals do. I think it happens when we only deal with the extremes.
No, let's be real. It happens more on the left. The cancel culture happens way more on the left.
Yeah, people on the left doing it.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know how to weigh that, but I think that is definitely the perception. Mm-hmm. And Chef is about ready to jump on here. So,
well,
what were you say?
I completely disagree with that, actually. because you cannot be a conservative member of, like, the talk radio media and be against President Trump. There are literally dozens of radio hosts around the country who have lost their jobs, who've lost syndication because they have said negative things about the president. I mean, like, that is cancel culture right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know one personally, so you are correct.
Okay. Wait a minute.
We're not going to have time on this. We have 45 seconds.
No,
keep going.
No, see, that's the thing about Chef. Chef purposely does these little stuff, takes a little shot at me, and then go ahead and retweets back. I'm going to say this. Chef, you're right, first. Yes, you're right. But that's just one man, Donald Trump, that has bullied an entire side. And usually, they don't usually let one person bully them the way that they do.
Okay, can we just, bottom line, can we just have a more reasonable approach with all of it? So we not just cancel everything. Why don't we look at each individual thing and say, hey, can we come up with something that we can all agree on or just find something that is just reasonable? Versus being so extreme. That's it.
Are you going to say there's very fine people on both sides? Okay. No, I'm just kidding, Ursula. Sorry. Coming up next, we have a discussion about stimulus checks. We do that next. It's Gene Ursula.